In Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, a protest organized by the Taliban turned violent today. Thousands of people demonstrated outside the U.S. embassy there and then stormed the complex and burned several buildings. Kate Clark has been the BBC's Afghanistan correspondent since 1999. 6 months ago, the Taliban closed down her bureau in Kabul and ordered her out of the country. Now from Islamabad in Pakistan, she keeps in touch with many Afghans by telephone. Today she spoke directly with eyewitnesses to the protest at the embassy.
Thousands of men and teenage boys were involved in the demonstration with slogans chanting death to America. They burned some of the buildings inside the embassy compound. They tore down the seal, the American seal above the gate. And the chief of police was desperately trying to keep the demonstrators out. There were just too many of them to deal with. So the Taliban had organized the demonstration and then it got out of hand. And I think they may well order that there will be no more demonstrations. That seems to be the line coming out of Kabul.
Tell us about this building, the former U.S. Embassy. It was abandoned by the U.S. back more than 10 years ago. Why is it still there and why is it empty?
Well, I don't think it is abandoned. I mean, the American diplomats left in 1989 when the Soviet Union withdrew its occupying army from Afghanistan and security deteriorated. But there are still a lot of Afghans working for the American embassy. I mean, they've been doing it very quietly. They, of course, they don't want to draw attention to themselves. But certainly, American diplomats here in Islamabad were very concerned about their staff. I mean, thank goodness it sounds like there were no injuries to any embassy staff, although there were some to some of the demonstrators and to some of the Taliban officials who eventually tried to calm down the situation.
You mentioned the Taliban organizing it. Did you get a sense from the people you're talking with how organized indeed it was? Did they go round up people to come and demonstrate?
Yes, they usually, well, usually what happens is they close the ministries down and order all the civil servants out, and they'll order the school students and the people from the religious seminaries and the universities. They can mobilize people if necessary, and of course that makes it difficult to tell exactly how much real strength of feeling there is about an issue.
With the capital under Taliban control, what sort of access would people have to any real news coming from the outside? Would any newspaper at all would be printing the news? Would they be listening to portable radios? What would they be doing?
Afghans are avid radio listeners. There's very few newspapers and television is banned, but United Nations surveys reckon about 60 to 70% of the population listen to the BBC. That's in the local languages. And Voice of America is also very popular. So Afghans do get decent, neutral international news.
It may indeed then be reported that President Bush in Washington yesterday was asking for the cooperation of the people of Afghanistan. He said the best way to fight terrorism is to ask for, and I'm quoting here, is to ask for the cooperation of citizens within Afghanistan who may be tired of having the Taliban in place.
Absolutely right, and that's what Afghans are asking for. And in some ways, they are the most natural allies. I would say most Afghans resent the presence of Osama bin Laden and his Arab fighters. They are seen as foreigners who have turned the country into a terrorist training camp. What Afghans are telling me almost universally is that if America goes ahead with unilateral military action against Afghanistan, if they're seen as invaders, they don't try and bring Afghans on board, there could well be a lot of resistance. And if the US can get the UN involved, the United Nations, they will have a much better chance of success, and they would probably be welcomed by the vast majority of Afghans, including disenchanted members of the Taliban. But it would be so easy to get Afghans on board at the moment. It's a country crying out for peace, crying out for political change. The name on everyone's lips is Zahar Shah, who's the former king who was deposed in the early 70s. And people are saying he is the one person that could unify the nation. And that's made people optimistic that there could actually be a political settlement, an end to the civil war, and some sort of legitimate, decent government for this country.
Ms. Clark, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Kate Clark of the BBC talking with us from Pakistan.